Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Alleluia. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Alleluia. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but it's always a little bit puzzling when you hear Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, the puzzling thing maybe isn't the fact that Jesus is the shepherd. We can all kind of picture that in our minds and get our minds around it. But to be the good one by the fact of what he does. Now, I think I've mentioned it before, that one of the practices that we do at home, although moving and everything else, it's kind of fallen to the wayside and been spotty here and there. But in our devotions during the week, to read the gospel reading for the coming Sunday. And fathers, that's always a good way to lead your family in devotions, to look towards the following Sunday. Just ask questions. What does this mean? What's Jesus doing? What's Jesus saying? And then on Sunday morning, when you come to church, you hear those things. But a few years ago, we were reading this text, and one of my girls heard that when we read our devotions, she asked, "How is Jesus a good shepherd by laying down his life?" And I responded to this by saying, "Well, that means he dies for the sheep." There, of course, like any good little girl, is a follow-up question. What does that make him, why does that make him good, and why are we his sheep? Now, at the time, leave it to, she was 4 years old, and now a five-year-old, and she turns six this week, this Friday is her birthday, to ask questions like that. And those and questions are incredibly important ones to ask when hearing the gospel reading. And it gets far beyond simply Jesus in this serene image of a shepherd, out in a grassy field with some sheep, things are calm. Now, there are elements to that and in other places in the scriptures, but here, what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 10, something far bloodier. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So the fact that Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, that's telling. Let's first look at that word, good. And I'm sure you've heard it before, but there's more to that word, for more than one word for good in Greek. The word that Jesus uses here has a meaning of beauty and noble. Those are some of the nuances of it. Now, it's noble and nobility, not in the sense of a class, like you have the nobility in the peasants, but in the sense of being noble, like when, for instance, one might say it's noble for a man to lay down his life or sacrifice it for his country. It's noble that Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. This is also beautiful. It's beautiful because of God's mercy shown to you. This is the work of God and God's handiwork. It's beautiful. Beauty is objective. Beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. It's something outside of ourselves. So in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, the same word that's used here in John's Gospel, is used after God would create and look upon his creation, and he saw that it was good. God's work is good. Jesus is good. And what he does is good. And the Lord does it all for your sake, for your benefit, that you might be redeemed. And that is good for you. That gets you then to begin to answer the question, why does dying make Jesus good, and why are we his sheep? Well, knowing what Jesus means by good, this continues to be answered in the epistle reading. St. Paul preaches in this reading, "He, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So when we hear those words, we tie that back into Good Friday with the prophet Isaiah and hearing about the passion of our Lord. So Peter kind of unpacks this, showing you what all this means, that Jesus is the good shepherd by laying down his life. There's a purpose in it all. Jesus doesn't just lay down his life for his own sake. He has done it for you. And so Jesus says in the gospel reading today those familiar words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Those words are so profoundly simple here, but they give us the person and work of Jesus for us. They can't be overstated. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's your good shepherd, and he has laid down his life for you. So the notion of laying down his life for you, or literally in Greek, on your behalf, shows what makes this death of Jesus different than any other death. There is a benefit when Jesus lays down his life for your sake. In Romans 5, God says through the pen of St. Paul, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So this is what makes Jesus not just a good shepherd, but the good shepherd. To be a sheep, then, is to be his own and known by him. The death of Christ benefits you, and without it, you are left under God's wrath and condemnation. But like anything good, there's always a temptation for us in our sinful nature to turn things and lose sight of this in our lives and turn the good shepherd into something he isn't. Because the shepherd leads and the sheep follow. That's how it works. It's not the other way around. This is why hired hands even come into this picture in the first place. Because what's the thing about a hired hand? He does what those who pay him say to do. His interest is job security and in his own sake. His concern isn't necessarily for the sheep. So long as they're happy and have what they want to give, they want him to give them, he keeps being the hired hand. He who pays the piper calls the tune, as the old expression goes. But our sinful nature wants those counterfeit shepherds. It wants to find our comfort and trust not in the good shepherd who lays down his life for us, the sheep, rather who pick to represent our voice and our ideals. It's not always so blatant as rejecting Jesus, but it can be seen in other ways where we place our fear, our love, and our trust in persons, institutions, nations, and other ideas that try to put themselves on the same level as God. And you don't have to search far and long to find hired hands who will preach to you what you want to hear as opposed to what you need to hear. But in the day and age where you can just instantly Google it or everything is live stream, you can probably find it before you can even think of what you want to hear. But Jesus, and him only him alone, is the one who has laid down his life for you and gives you eternal life. And so Jesus cares for you even when he calls you to repentance. It is he who cares for you to call you to listen to his word, even when it seems so foreign to the world today, because his words are the words of eternal life. And he's the one then who sees the wolf coming and doesn't flee, who doesn't turn around and say, "Well, that's good, that's above my pay grade, I'm done with this," but lays down his life and guards you, protects you with his rod and his staff, because he is the one who gives you life. So you see who you are in all of this, your sheep, his sheep. What does this mean? Well, what do sheep do? They hear the voice of their shepherd. That's how the Small Called Articles, one of the documents of the Lutheran Confessions, talk about the church. Luther even brings it up in what became a famous phrase of his, that God be praised, a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, holy believers, and the little sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd. So it's no coincidence you call me pastor. I'm sure you know it comes from the word for shepherd. Because what am I doing now? I'm preaching to you as your shepherd, as I am an under-shepherd of the good shepherd. And you, the sheep, are hearing the voice of your shepherd, if you're still awake at this point, your pastor, speak to you in the stead of your good shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life for you. So you see then, your life as sheep and sheep of Christ is known by the death and resurrection of your Lord. Your redemption has been paid, and you hear and follow where your Lord leads. Peter also connects this in another way that helps you understand the work of Jesus as you are the good shepherd, and as he is the good shepherd and you are his sheep living in this world. The words in the epistle reading about the shepherd and the sheep, St. Peter writes at the beginning, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." We said that before the epistle reading. So there is an example, to be sure, that you see in the suffering and death of Jesus. That does preach to you, and it teaches you something about what God has done for you and what you as the sheep have in this new life in Christ. So you want to know what righteousness is. You want to know what true goodness is. You want to know what true beauty is. All of these things. Well, what? Behold your crucified Lord. Behold the one who laid down his life for the sheep. That's also how you understand and know and see that God is God as love. And this is how the Father loves the Son. Right after our gospel reading today ends with verse 16, the next two verses, 17 and 18, go on with Jesus saying this: "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." So Jesus is the good shepherd, who is the good beloved Son, who is obedient to the Father, and you benefit from his obedience. When Jesus received the commandment of the Father to lay down his life, Jesus did it willingly, because this is all of the love of God for you. So when we hear things like the Bible say that God is love, it doesn't mean some abstract notion of love that man may concoct. No, you know what this means. God is love by what Jesus has done for you, and have the love of God. Romans 5 again: "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So the example of love God calls you to follow, and it is true, it is good, it is beautiful. To follow Christ is to follow in that example of righteousness and love. It's to sacrifice, even if all, if necessary, for your neighbor. To speak the truth in love. This is especially the case when you think of God teaching you about the love of a husband for his wife, which is no coincidence as an image of Christ laying down his life for his bride, the church. Because sacrifice and love, they go together. Often in your life, these may be small things. Any number of things as the Lord has given you in your daily vocations. You know, you'll see the meme go around social media that the role of a dad, sometimes you eat the heel of the loaf of bread for your kids because they don't want to eat it. So you do it because you love them. Or maybe you just do it because you don't want to hear them whine. But still, you get the point, right? There are little things that you do, but you still sacrifice. Because that's who you are. That's what God has given you to do. And so you see then this example of Christ. You see this example of sacrifice, and you learn from it. And you let your love be defined by Christ, by his word, by his commandments. And you see and know all that is good, and find refuge then in Christ when you fail to love your neighbor as yourself. Because that's the thing about the example of Christ. It's not just an example, but it actually is his love for you, forgiving you, and giving you eternal life freely and fully. So as God's sheep, listen to your shepherd and go where he leads. Be sheep. Don't be afraid to be sheep. Find refuge in his care and protection as well. Because when Jesus speaks about seeing the wolf coming, did you catch what Jesus said? He didn't say, "Oh, and by the way, if a wolf should ever happen to wander by," no. Rather, it's a given that the wolf is coming after the sheep. He comes. Many things can be the wolf, but the danger is all the same. Be it the world trying to distract or entice you with its cares, with its ideas, or something else, be it temptation to sin, be it a hired hand trying to scratch an itching ear, whatever the case may be, you see that God protects and delivers you, even as you pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So even the hired hands are dangerous, as they leave you without protection. They may be a wolf in sheep's clothing, as Jesus says, They preach a word that is simply fluff and no real substance. Jesus, though, is the good shepherd, and he will never throw you to the wolf. Now, what Jesus does, because you're his sheep, is he will cover you with himself. And he's the one who lets the teeth of the wolf sink into him so that you will emerge even from death unscathed. And in reality, better off than where you have been before. So hide in Jesus. Cling to him who has clothed you with himself in the waters of your baptism. Because remember, you're sheep, his sheep, and he's your good shepherd. And he doesn't leave you alone, but he brings you into his flock, the church. The Holy Spirit is called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified you as the flock of God. Because when you look next to you, you're not sitting alone. You're together as the people of God. Wander off, and you make yourself a morsel for the wolf. However, in Christ, in his pasture, you are safe and secure from the wolf. Because Jesus has overcome sin, death, and the devil. And he gives you the victory he has accomplished. So that's who you are as a sheep. That's what God calls you to do as you hear his word and feast on that body and blood given and shed for you. He is your good shepherd. You are his sheep. So don't be swayed to wander away from him. Listen to what he says as sheep hear his voice and follow him. In this Easter season, you see all of this so vividly and the eternal life that the good shepherd gives to his sheep, even as he is the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. The good shepherd is your good shepherd. He is the one who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. He is the one who has laid down his life for you by his death on the cross, and the one who gives you life in the waters of your baptism. In life, he is your good shepherd. In death, he is your good shepherd. For eternity, he is your good shepherd. So the Lord's mercy has been and is shown to you in Jesus, who has laid down his life for you. So thanks be to God this day for his abundant mercy. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And so Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Dear people of God, you are the flock of God. That's extraordinary. Jesus has laid down his life for you, and he's brought you into his flock, the church. There are so many promises that you have as the flock of Christ. Jesus gives you eternal life. Jesus knows you. He knows you, and you know him. And you don't have just some head knowledge, but he knows you as you have been clothed with him in the waters of your baptism. And you know him as you have faith in him given to you by God, and you feast at his supper, eating and drinking his own body and blood. You're not just a number. Jesus knows you, and you know him. And God's word is your pasture, where you find nourishment, where he sustains you through this life until that day when you will be raised and stand before your shepherd in that new creation he will create for you and all of his flock. This is the joy of the good shepherd, and it's the joy for you as his sheep. So what a noble and beautiful life this is all for you. God looks upon his work in Christ when he sees you, and he sees it is good, very good indeed, because Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for you, and just as he has raised it up his life again, so also he shall raise you up from the dead to life forever, and that is good. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.